Monday night. Do you know where your Twitter mom's at?
Oh, it's Kiva on Indie Views. It's Kiva Artist Interview. Right now on Butterflies
Radio,
where it's all indie all the
Welcome to this week's episode of the Butterflies Radio Indie Views Artist Spotlight with William Pilgrim and the All Grows Up. William Pilgrim is the alter ego of Ishmael Ish Herring from Kansas City originally, and the brainchild of PM Romero, who's Orange County based in California. And the way the band came about was through a Craigslist ad. If you get the time, you also need to look them up on the internet and watch one of their episodes. There's episode one right now, which is live from the Ice House, and the second episode debuts March 26th, so that's tomorrow, so tune in to watch it. And tonight, here's the first song by them called Beautiful.
My baby, she's looking for me. Hey,
going over the same old ground.
Boy meets girl that lets her down. Runs her mouth 8 days a week, but she sure is beautiful. Kind of fight.
Kind of fight.
She can't be wrong when she spends her days always right. And well, you know it's the same old story. Looks so good when she wakes up in the morning. A thousand ways to crazy tucked up her sleeve, but she surely is beautiful when she. Oh, you know she's so beautiful.
Beautiful.
It makes no difference to me.
Makes no difference to me.
If not her, it'd be some other bird squawking in my tree.
Well, I guess first of all, I want you to tell everybody how you formed, with starting with, I guess start with you, PM, because you put out the Craigslist ad, right?
Actually, Ish was the one who placed the ad.
Oh,
and he could
okay.
Really speak to his motivation of why he did.
Then Ish, you start.
Yeah, you know, I was just sitting around one day on the streets of LA, and I was like, you know what, it's been a long time since I had $100, so I put an ad on Craigslist that pretty much said, hey, for $100, I will come in to your studio one time and sing whatever you want me to do. Phil says I was pretty confident in the post, so he came along and checked out my post, and things just got all rolling after that. But initially, all I wanted was $100, and in return, I've gotten a band and almost a few years worth of good times.
See, you never know how those things are going to work out.
Yeah, oh, you never know.
And PM, what was it for you when you saw the ad? That were you looking for a singer, or did it just happen to be that you were looking and he was offering and you just kind of came together, or did something about his post just trigger something with you?
It actually kind of both. I was definitely looking for a unique voice, and at the time we were writing songs about the Occupy movement and kind of just speaking about the Great Recession in general, and when I stumbled across Ish's post, his voice just was captivating, and I said, holy shit, you know, this is an amazing singer. Then started the process of trying to chase him down. Not only was he so confident, he was so confident that he wasn't returning my calls. Or he wanted that $100, but not too bad.
Yeah, he didn't want to make, you know, it was one of those Where's Waldo things, you know, to give him the $100.
If he had that striped hat, he might have been easier to corner.
How long did it take you to find him?
It was a series of weeks, if not a month or longer, right?
Yeah.
And Ish, was he the first one that found you, or did you sing for anybody else?
You mean like within that time frame, was I looking at other projects?
Yeah, for your $100, did anybody else contact you?
Oh, yeah, I mean, he was, funny enough, he was the only person that bit.
So I probably could have got him for it like 20 or 25.
Yeah,
you could have talked him down.
Probably.
And he was so, to me, he was so far away, like as far as geography goes. Because once I found out that he was in Orange County, I had these emails like speaking about a project or whatever, but they didn't mention any money. So I just kind of put them, to the back burner, and finally he came through with an email. Give me what I requested, and in a silly way, we've been keeping it going since.
Yeah.
So you got your $100, and did he pay your cab fare to go to Orange County, or?
I made him walk.
You made him walk. That's a long walk.
I mean, if I can be kind of humble about this, when it comes to that, as far as getting paid in the $100, I was actually paid rather handsomely for my, perhaps even overpaid. So.
Very good.
Yeah.
See, the initial thing was that we were doing a project for a film, and that's what I was looking for, and that was the catalyst. But once we actually got together and started working together and writing some music and playing, we realized real quick that we had something beyond just a project. And that's when, over time, we decided to form the band and record the record and do everything that we are, you know, currently doing.
Now, had either one of you had bands before that you had been with?
Both of us. I mean, we've all been in different bands and different projects, and I think both of us can speak to a band is not something that you easily just put together. There's a chemistry, there's a certain relationship, there's a certain thing that, you know, is beyond just musicians getting together and writing songs and playing. And when you find that connection and when you find that chemistry, it's something that, you know, kind of drives you. So we've both been in bands. It didn't work out, so this has been a good thing.
Well, I know when I heard your voice, Ish, I was doing A&R for Butterflies during our last campaign. And, you know, I'll sit there and I'll do 100, 200 songs. I'll sit down and do that many at a time. I'll just go and go and go. And Farewell came up. And I think that my sentiments were like yours, PM. I was like, holy shit. It's like, you have got to hear him. I said, this is fantastic. I said, I really love the sound because it was so unique. And it just kind of, I don't know how to describe it. I really don't, but it really captured me. And, you know, I was sharing it with everybody I knew. I was like, you've got to listen to this band. You've got to listen to this sound. It's so cool. And your voice really, I don't know, it just, it captures so much emotion and feeling, and it really brings you into it. I think, you know, you've done the video for A Soldier's Tale, and I think your voice tells such a brilliant story, even without a video with it. You know, I think it's very powerful, and that's what brought me into it. And
also,
I've wanted you guys since then.
I think also that it also speaks to where Ish was at that time. I don't know if you have the chance to check out our new project, which is the Live Ice House project, where we're going back and documenting, or we have documented that whole process of recording that record and specifically that song. And, you know, Ish was in a place where I think he was singing not only for, you know, the content of the song, but where he was at that period of his life. And the emotion of that comes through, definitely.
Now, I do want to know, tell everybody, because neither one of you are William, how the name William Pilgrim came about.
The name William Pilgrim is a derivative of a character from a Kurt Vonnegut novel, Slaughterhouse-Five. And we used his name as kind of a setup for what we were trying to communicate with our record, The Great Recession. And so we kind of looked at the parallels of that character because a lot of the characters that are part of our songs, you know, share similar, you know, character traits, I guess I would say.
Yeah, when I was reading that, that got my attention because I was just with a group of friends last week. We have game night, like once a month, twice a month sometimes. And one of the questions, I can't remember what the question was, but the answer was Kurt Vonnegut in Slaughterhouse-Five. And then, you know, I'm reading about you guys, and I'm like, how strange, you know, within days of that question and that answer, and then reading that that's where the name came from. So I thought that was pretty cool. Again, one of those things are meant to happen, things are meant to come together kind of thing.
I think so.
Next up is A Soldier's Tale off their debut record, The Great Recession.
Another gun for the one horse town. And shoot them twice if they won't stay down. Cause there is no God in war. I hear his name and it sure sounds nice. There's a poor man's hope and a rich man's lies. At the end it's only me knocking at your door. Haystacks turning, the August rain, the break of morning and dawn. Of sweet things I left in my hometown. Yeah, yeah. Well, over here, just a well-dressed poor, the fattest rats at the country store. Spent it all while the giant sleeps. They buy us guns, tell us that we're right. Become the monsters that we came to fight. And all the families I will never meet. Children left in bloody heaps. I can smell the haystacks turning. The August rain, the break of morning. Of love.
Now, when did you guys get together officially?
I think we got together probably late 2011 is when we started working on the project, but we formed the band probably early 2012, and that's when we started recording the songs and really making a go as a band.
And when did The Great Recession debut?
That was released September 11th, 2012.
So it was kind of it was a long process to get it done.
It was.
And have you produced albums before or worked with them? Is it something that I assume you probably had experience with it?
Yes, that's kind of my passion is to write music, produce music, and like I said, when you see an artist and you have the ability to collaborate with talent, it's leads you into a whole nother direction.
Now, are you currently working on the documentary film? I know that you said House on the Hill in your thing, that it was going to be released this year. Have you started work on it, or is that to come? And talk about that a little bit.
We started work on it, and we've gone through several different scripts, and Ish is the leading character in that documentary. And the challenge that we had is that Ish is changing as we speak and evolving, and this whole process and project has really exceeded our wildest dreams, and it's continuing. So we had the challenge of finding how to end the documentary. So just as we came up with an ending, we exceeded the the ending. So what we did is we're still filming, we're still have that, but what we decided to do is to come up with these webcasts, these shows, which are segments or sections of that story, and we're going to be telling that story as we go, and then at some point we will come up with the ending of the documentary.
Now, whose idea was that? I know because it looks at the plight of the homeless teens in South California, and Ish, you were homeless at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Was it your idea to do this and to bring awareness to it? I think I saw somewhere that you guys are you're very much about making the world a better place and everything around you. And I think based on your songs and the things that I've seen, you're very aware of what's going on in the world around you and, bringing that to light and talking about it.
Actually, the documentary project was just brought to me by Phil and his colleague, Mr. Scott Montgomery. It was it was something that was just naturally, I guess, in my wheelhouse because of my experience. I've gotten a sense that for a long time for certain causes, and when it comes to certain causes again, I've been a good champion, for the right mm-hmm. causes, and I think in this modern time perhaps I make a good face for this kind of cause, so it's just something that it's almost, it's just kind of in my DNA, almost fated to take these kind of projects, if you will.
And I think you get led where you need to be and where you can make the most difference. And maybe that was what was meant to be all along, not that I would wish being homeless on anyone or downplaying how it was, but maybe that was part of your journey. To get here, and you never know who you're going to help in the end for it.
Definitely, and I think Ish has the ability to shed light on the vast talent that exists on the streets of L.A. and probably, everywhere on this globe. And Ish, it's been a great journey for him to, as he says, be the face and to bring some attention to, what's actually going on there on the street.
Because so many musicians, especially indie musicians or people who don't have a label, it's a struggle to make it financially without, a regular job and doing the music too. And I think a lot of people do go to LA with hopes of making it, and they don't, and then they find themselves in that kind of situation. No way to get back. And I think that goes to what you said, PM. You're going to find more artists, and people with these talents that people don't know about that are homeless, because people don't see what's within them. That's not something that that they just notice.
I think we have this idea of the struggling artist in Hollywood, and it's the guy who's, you know, out there sacrificing for his big break, for his dream. And, you know, that clearly exists, but beneath that myth, there's a whole nother group of people who have immense talent, but are not struggling for, you know, the big break of being, you know, famous rock star. You know, they're struggling for food, shelter, and various other things that preoccupy them and prevent them from even having the ability to show their talent. And I think that's where we're shedding light, is, you know, underneath that struggling artist person, you know, there's a whole nother layer of talent that you're not even getting the chance to see.
Next up is the song Water When the Well is Dry.
Corner of a dead end street, 2 minutes tears and not a drop of relief. It'll shake up your soul, tear down your pride. Honey, keep your eyes pure, let us tell no lies. Hatred is a criminal out on the loose. Love might be a judge with a hangman's noose. It'll make you strong, make you better. I gotta find myself a strong deliverer. I need a drink of something like water. I need a taste of love divine. Sometimes you just gotta do what you order. Sometimes you bring up the water when the well is dry. Few exceptions. I need a drink of something like water. I need a taste of love divine. Girl, you just gotta do what you order. And sometimes you bring up the water when the well is dry. Water when the well. In sorrow,
but your kiss was an open door, so I walk through to a new tomorrow.
Like a blade of finest steel, honey, like an arrow straight and true, like gold in the hottest fire, baby. That's my love for you. I need a drink of something like water. A taste of love divine. Sometimes you just gotta do what you order. Sometimes you bring up the water when the well is dry. Water when the well is dry.
And it seems like, PM, like you've kind of taken Ish under your wing a little bit. Ish, have you found people in the process of making this documentary, have you found anyone that you kind of feel that way about, that you're taking them under your wing and to guide them and to help them?
I mean, like, there's a few cats that I'm helping. There's a cat named Lissetti Lo-Fi that I work quite closely with. But really, more than anything, I just, I know there are a lot of folks who look up to me, a lot of youngsters out there, and I'm not confronted, but, like, I come face-to-face with that, like, on the daily. So with me, it's just something that I'm already just immersed in enough as it is. So I take folks under my wing, but I can't say that I've gone as far as Phil has with me.
Sure you have. I mean, he mentioned Lissetti Lo-Fi. Lissetti is a 19-year-old kid, been on the street since he's 16. Huge talent. And because of Ish, Lissetti came into the Ice House here, and we did a whole episode with him. And we focused on his situation, and that episode's going to be released March 26th. And it's a phenomenal episode, and what makes it so incredible is that Lissetti, 19 years old, been on the street for the last 3 years, when he comes in here and he plays with some, you know, great studio musicians, and we have the opportunity to jam with him, that all falls away. You don't see him as a street kid. You don't see him, you know, from the challenges that he brings. You see him as just this incredible artist where you go, why isn't this guy made it? Why isn't this guy on every radio station across the nation? And that's one of the things that we're trying to do here at the Ice House, is to show this talent that exists, and then also give you some perspective on their backstory.
I love the whole concept of your episodes and what you do. And next up is the song called Run. And if you all want to check out Live from the Ice House, remember tomorrow night, March 26th, is when that premieres. So look up William Pilgrim and the All Grows Up. Go to their website and watch that episode. And again, here's the song Run.
Must have rained every day that you owned. Must have said too much. Sort of a self-inflicted gloom. We've been wrong too long. The bad things must end. Amen, amen, amen. And sometimes, yeah, it's best to walk away before you gotta run. Yeah, out of luck, under the bridge, down to my last buck. It's the son of a bitch. I sit a spell to think things through. Cop says I don't care what you do. Grab your shit, can't sleep here tonight. Yeah, and then it went from bad to worse. I can't remember who swerved first. Sometimes it's best to walk away before you gotta run. Before you gotta run. Before you have to run. Before you gotta run.
Ish, I grew up in poverty, and my grandparents raised me. And I think that helped me become a writer, because reading was so important to me as an escape, and it takes you somewhere where you're not living, where you can't be. And I assume that music is that for you, or was that for you. Is that accurate, or?
You know, it's just something that I've been able to do with ease, or whatever. It's I think after failing so much, and now that I'm kind of just letting myself down for so many years, I arrived at the point to where I knew that, you know, I could do my life justice through music. You know, it wasn't much of a refuge for me when I was growing up, and it didn't push me. Actually, I remember the first thing I wanted to be, like a good old American boy, was an astronaut. And and after failing at learning guitar and failing at learning the trombone, through failing, I began to get seriously interested in music. And when I was about 21 years old, and I really had nothing else going for me, and I was like, if all you got is your voice and your songwriting, hell man, take it out to Hollywood. So I would say, I think out of a sense of failure and regret, I began to get into music, and then it just kind of just snowballed.
So it's kind of like, no matter what you wanted to do, music was going to be there, and music found you.
Yeah, you know, I think certain things, as far as having the answers for them, I think once some more years go by, I have a better grasp on them. But as far as me finding it, or it finding me, I like to think that we were probably just always in the same room, you know, because mm-hmm. I know when I was a toddler, I would take chairs and like tip them over, and I would sing into the legs of chairs, because it was just, the height-wise, it was just perfect for me to see, being a toddler or whatever. And it's just something I was just kind of born with. It's in the veins. I was performing into mirrors when I was 5 years old, so I knew that this was going to happen. I just never knew the extent that it was going to happen.
Or kind of how to get there. Because I know I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I said that I knew I wanted to be a writer since I was 10. And he said, you know, I don't know how people know what they want to be when they're 6, 8, and 10. He said, I really admire that, you know, you knew that and you stuck with it. Now, my dad didn't want me to do that, because he said, you know, you're not going to make any money being a writer. And that's absolutely true. But it's what I love. And, you know, I do it for free. And I would do it for free. I've done it for pay. Do it for free, because it's just who I am.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're saying, too, is that it's been there, and it's just part of who you are. And I think everybody has a gift. And some of us are lucky enough to know what that gift is.
Mm.
And to get to use it. And, you know, your gift is music and your unique voice and being able to reach people with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... I mean, I don't know where PM stands on this whole deal, but I think it's really cool that, you know, that God forbid, I think it's cool that something could happen to me, but yet I can leave this work behind, you know, and still impact people and still bring folks to the light, you know. I've sacrificed, I'm pretty sure PM has too, you know, as artists and singers, songwriters, you know, we sacrifice a lot. I know me, I've sacrificed the greater half of a decade and given it to this, and it's because I know that when it's all said and done, I'm not going to be forgotten, you know, whether we get big or whether we don't go anywhere. It's just that, I don't know, it's like we're touching forever sometimes, and that's why I do it, at least.
Oh, I love that. I love the way you put that, and it was so lyrical. Yeah, it was very nice.
I'm just struggling to make sense and say coherent words right now.
No, I think you're doing great. And I think that's another funny thing. When I interview people, I don't do the who, what, when, where, why, and how a whole lot. I have conversations with people.
Yeah.
Because I think it's more comfortable that way, and I think it just takes it where it's supposed to go. And, you know, I'll stumble over my words because I don't have, you know, questions written down that I look at. I just kind of see where one thing takes you to the next, because if you have a script and it goes somewhere else, you miss something, you know, if you do that. So, yeah, just live in the moment, and I think you're doing great.
Cool.
During our conversation, Ish told me that one of his goals in life is to play at the Grand Ole Opry, so I hope that happens for him. Next up is a song that he wrote called Calling Caroline.
The best part of me just met the worst of you. Walking through my door again. Call Caroline and tell her that I'm coming over after the party is done. Call everyone and tell them that I love that girl. I don't wanna find another one. I'll take it all in until the sun comes. I don't wanna run just cause you say run. And baby, I know you're scared. Caroline, where have you been hiding all the time? Oh, Caroline, girl, you stole my heart. Hill, down at the diner in Six Inch Hills. She sends chills, but yet she burns. Come closing time, I see her looking out the window, looking hungry again. I'm too scared to come back in. I don't wanna run just cause you say run. I'll take it all in until the sun comes. I don't wanna find another one. And baby, you're always scared. Caroline, where have you been hiding all the time? Caroline, girl, you stole my heart.
Fall in love like old folks do.
Tell you what I want to do.
I'll tell you what I want from you.
I'll tell you what I want from you. Don't wanna have to go looking. Shouldn't have to go searching. It's too much work and no return. Wanna have to go looking. I have to go searching. Too much work and no return. I don't wanna run just cause you say run. I'll take it all in until the sun comes. I don't wanna find another one. And baby, you're so scared.
Ain't no mystery.
And PM, how did you decide what genre William Pilgrim was going to be? Because you're a combination of blues, folk, and roots rock. Did you decide that before you had Ish and his voice, or did his voice kind of tell you what genre you were going to be?
I think the original genre idea was Americana. Mm-hmm. And obviously with hints of blues and country and things like that. What Ish brought is a kind of a 60s soul, mm-hmm. that really took it out of what you would traditionally say as Americana and brought it to a level that I just don't think exists out there. So it's a combination of Americana, blues, soul, even R&B to a certain extent, definitely country. And I think what we were able to do is create something that's uniquely our sound,
yes.
but still leveraging the history of, you know, that roots music.
And what's your background, and how did you get to this point, to this point in music?
It's just always been my passion. You know, I've always been musically involved in different things, you know, producing music, writing music, playing music, and I think that as an artist, as a songwriter, as you get on in your years, being passionate about stuff kind of, I think, dies out. Just like, you know, with certain artists who have a great first album or, you know, have a first great hit, but then later albums seem to peter out as they start to, you know, getting into the toils of just regular life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Ish says, you know, in the absence of that struggle. And I think what this duo William Pilgrim has done for me is it's given that passion back. It's been able to, you know, take my songwriting, my playing and performing, and really kind of energize it. And that's, you know, due to, you know, Ish's story, his vocals, but also, you know, to the larger state of, you know, the economy, America, and, you know, where we're at. So it's just kind of one of those perfect storms, which drives you again and, you know, hopes to find that passion.
Now, you're both songwriters, correct?
Yes,
yes,
ma'am.
So on the album, it's a mixture of songs each of you have written.
Correct.
Talk about probably the, for each of you, the song that that is most important to you, or had the most important meaning behind it, that, that really just said, write me.
You want to go first? Or?
Sure.
I'm still thinking. Yeah.
For me, they're all personal, but the one that for me is, from a songwriting perspective, I think most rewarding was Farewell. And the song itself is, in essence, a farewell letter or suicide letter from a soldier back to his loved one here at home. And just from a songwriting perspective, I liked how that song evolved and, you know, how it matured. And, you know, we don't write commercially pop oriented songs.
Yeah.
Ish says yet.
Just kidding.
But,
show me the money.
I already got $100 to you. What else do you want?
Yeah, what more do you want? Yeah, your songs are very, I think that that's what I like about them, is they do harken back to a time when songs told stories.
Mm.
And I think a lot of times now they don't, you know, they're just mass marketed for the sound, the beat, you know, whatever. But you all tell stories, and you tell stories that need to be told, that don't get told.
Hmm.
Now, Ish, have you had time to think about that song that was it for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say for me it's probably, I think, Calling Caroline. It's it was kind of personal for me because I've nobody asks, nobody cares, but I've been rejected by a lot of women, right? So the idea behind Calling Caroline for me is that, at least for me, I feel that when somebody rejects you, especially if you actually have some sense of compassion for them, I think once you get past the rejection, you'll find that that person gave you some soul, you know, gave you mm-hmm. something that you didn't have before. And so you kind of go on down this road of like, I want to meet someone like this and someone like that. So the idea of Call and Caroline is essentially about just being a hopeless, a romantic, and just kind of knowing that, because I think inside everybody's head, we have this ideal person that we see, and I don't think all of us gets to be with that person or meets that person, but deep down inside, we're always looking for that person or wishing we would have met that person. So Call and Caroline is, for me, is my favorite as far as a songwriter goes.
How do women reject you with an answer like that? You know, that is so insightful, thoughtful, and romantic, and it's in the way you describe it. I can't imagine women going, "No, nah, I don't think so."
Well, in 2013, you'd be surprised.
Oh, I guess I've been married so long that I forget what it's like to go through that whole that whole process. So
times are changing.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what your follow-up song will be, you know?
We plan to get them rejected several other times.
I think you should start doing that as a podcast, you know? Yeah.
Hey, that's a good episode right there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Send him out there, you know, in the dating field in L.A., and you've got a vast array of people out there to reject him. What would you do if, you know, you hit up this woman and you weren't really interested in her, but, you know, you were kind of like, oh, everybody's rejecting me. I'll just take a shot at it, and she'll probably reject me. And then she says yes. Then what do you do?
I think I will become overly enthusiastic.
And his songwriting career is over.
I think I'm overly enthusiastic.
Yeah, you need the turmoil and the pain to have those soulful songs, you know, that just come from within you.
Then he starts writing about minivans and going to the grocery store.
Yeah, that's no fun. Then you're going to make a children's album.
That's when you can write your pop songs.
Yep, the pop songs can go on the children's album. Absolutely.
I don't know what I'll do, but if that happens,
you are available.
I will Skype you.
Next up is the song Farewell, written by P.M. Romero.
Farewell, my darling, I'm off to war now, they'll pay me well. Staying here is nothing but trouble for a man with no job or skills. They say my country needs me, protecting fortune staked by whites. Claim we're fighting some kind of evil. Boy, I hope they're right. So long, so well, I'm off to bomb the brown kids straight to hell. And may God forgive what their mothers never will. It's been a year now, and no evil to be found. Just a bunch of kids with bills to pay, living on the ground. So long, so well, can you love a man after stories I tell?
guys. That's a wrap. We're done. We're done.
Farewell was my choice song of the week, and the one that I heard on Reverb Nation that really got my attention and got William Pilgrim and the All Grows Up onto the Butterflies radio rotation.
That, but I'm glad I get to share your all sound with people, because I like how unique it is and how unique Ish's voice is, and I think the sound and the music is just as unique as his voice, so... I think you all have a promising future. I think it's a cool combo.
Thank you, thank you.
Next up is a song called About a Girl.
Children hate me, and their moms do too. There was this girl in Oklahoma, you know, she was kind of nice. I tried telling her I loved her, only hit her twice. And when her car fell apart, I stole her one brand new. She never thanked me, they never appreciate the shit I do. Whoa, it's not about me, baby. It's about the things I want, yeah, the things I need. And I'm no educated man, but everybody knows if there's problems in this world, it probably started with a girl. There you go again, you're blaming me when I never even kissed her. I didn't touch that girl, if I did, I was out of know. She was your sister.
First one is, do you have any good stories from the road? Now, you said that you haven't toured a whole lot. You know, you stay there around L.A., but you still got to have some good stories, I'm guessing.
No, honestly, I'm going to keep it real with you. Me, from my standpoint, we're you know, when we go play a show, like, it's normally just kind of a show, you know, and most of our audience is, I would say, what, at least 35 and above?
I don't know. We're pretty diversified.
We're dealing with people who don't have a whole lot of energy left.
Hey, I'll be 42 Friday. I got plenty of energy.
I try to get them going, man, but they're just, I'm going to have to put them in the hover round. And
now, when I was in L.A., time before last, I was, you know, right beside Madame Tussauds, that street that goes right beside it.
Mm-hmm.
I was standing there on that side waiting on a friend of mine to pick me up.
Mm.
And I was propositioned. And I had a cardigan on and jeans. And I was like, really? Why? Why? What about this says hooker? You know, and I thought that was, I don't know, that kind of cracked me up. And I posted something about it. And one of my friends made a snarky comment about, was the guy driving a hover round? So,
The guy.
So that made me think about that when you said that.
Oh.
Now my
That's a normal day in L.A. That's Tuesday.
Pretty tame.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen here, though. It doesn't happen here.
Well, show up next time for the defecation.
Oh, it gets more interesting every time I come to L.A. The last time I went, I rode the bull at Saddle Ranch. And, Ish, just so you know how the old folks roll.
Okay.
We were having lunch with like 30 people, and the majority of which were young musicians.
Uh-huh.
And I was the only one who rode the bull. So, you know, I had the energy to do that.
Well, I'm...
Well, next time you're in L.A., we'll give you the other tour where, you know, the dumpsters with dead hookers in them and things like that, a little bit more seedier.
Now, see, I would like that because I was a crime reporter. And
oh, really?
And murder's kind of my hobby. And I know that sounds scary and everything, but I did red carpet interviews at the Artists and Music Awards and came back and covered a murder trial. So, you know, I'm very versatile. It kind of, yeah.
We'll give you the tour.
One of my foster dads was a chaplain for the police department, so for some reason, every once in a while, I thought it was a good experience if he took me with him.
To the crime scenes, yeah.
Yeah, he would make me just sit in the car and just watch from maybe like half a block away, just have this horrible scene going on.
Yeah, see, I like that. I had one night, I had scanner duty, and there was a call that came in that the trees were on fire, the woods were on fire, and this was in a rural part of the county.
Never good.
And there was an explosion, and I was like, oh, an explosion, cool. And it was spring break for my son and his friend. I think they were, I want to say, 14 at the time. And it was so far out, I didn't know that I could find the way to get there, so I asked my husband if he would go with me. I said, will you go out there with me? Because, you know, being out there in the backwoods is a little scary sometimes. So then my son said, oh, we want to go too. So I took them. And lo and behold, it was a meth lab explosion. I took my son to the scene of a meth lab explosion, not knowing that's what it was. So, yeah, my kids have been to basketball games, you know, meth lab explosions. Car accidents, yeah. I never took them to a murder scene, though. I do have to say, I never took them to a murder scene.
There's always Christmas.
Yeah, there is always Christmas. They can look forward to that.
Nah, hey, I'll do you one better. I was walking by this guy one day in Hollywood, and I was asking for a cigarette, right? And I was looking for a cleaning company within the building, and this guy worked within the building, right? So I'm asking him for a cigarette one day, and we're sitting there talking and being polite one day. A few days later, dude gets killed, and then the cleaning company I worked for sent me out to clean up the mess when it was all said and done.
Next up, the last song of the night is called Race Car.
I want to be a race car driver, a fire chief, a football star, not some chicker at a big box store. Won't it see by touching the moon, or play guitar to a sold out room? But those days are gone, but I got you and that's a full-time job. And I say, oh, 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 yeah, yeah, I'm feeling kinda lonely. And it may be a surprise, girl, through these eyes, there was more to life to me. Oh yeah, say my baby, don't buy that shit. She says, where's my first class seat? And my baby don't know no thrift. She said money was the only thing I wanted to be. A deep sea diver, a Russian spy, or beer tasting king. Now that has a ring, and it sure sounded good to me, baby. Circle the globe in a balloon, I wrestle tigers while watching cartoons. Those days are gone, but I got you, 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 you. And I say, oh, 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 I'm feeling kinda lonely. It may be a surprise, through these eyes, there was more to life to me. But my baby don't buy that shit. She says, where's my first class seat? And my baby don't know no thrift. She said money was the only thing. Yeah, yeah, I've been feeling lonely, baby. Yeah, and I've been holding out for so, so long. Oh yeah, my baby don't buy that shit, sister.
The last question, it's kind of, I'm a little obsessed with food, especially when I travel, and I don't like to eat at chain restaurants. So I ask musicians, what's the best place you've eaten, either where you live, where you've toured, been from? What's the place people have to eat at, and what do they have to get?
The Waffle House in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, Waffle House is a chain, though, aren't they all the same?
Change? Oh, I can't, you're fine.
Something unique. Yeah, I just ate at Waffle House yesterday.
Man,
that's where you go after a concert when you're trashed.
I mean, like, it's too nice in LA. It's too ritzy.
You're Ish is a waffles and chicken kind of guy, man. That's.
Oh, did you know that there's potato chips now that are waffles and chicken? Lay's potato chips, waffles and chicken chips?
I predict it will be a big seller.
Bad idea. I'm trying to think of where, is there like any special, you know what, honestly, around LA, no, for me, I'm just generally like, I'm more of a, you know, I'm really more of a Denny's kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I have, yeah, I've got no class when it comes to this answer. Maybe Phil will have a...
Oh, no, I didn't say you had to have class. There are some dive bars people have brought up, you know, that, like, this dive bar has this great hamburger or, you know, just these different things. And
trying to think, you know.
Well, I took Ish one time. We went, we were in Taos, New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
And there is a little New Mexico restaurant called Orlando's, and they have some of the best chili, you know, New Mexico style chili, And I thought that was great. But
you got that shanty?
Yeah, the shanty.
See, there you go. That's what I'm talking about.
It's one of my favorite restaurants. It's just great New Mexico food. And Ish was looking at me like I was asking him to eat dirt from the ground.
Because it wasn't Waffle House or Denny's. You can trust the unique food.
Yeah, it was, I think it was real.
You've got a faith in that.
Real, authentic food.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm looking for. Now, your goal, PM, is to get Ish out there and find some of those places in L.A.
Well, see, Ish doesn't take anything I recommend to heart because I'm one of those crazy plant people. So he's never met a vegetable that he likes. If it's green, it's plate, it's garnish.
You know what it comes down to? Where I come from, I don't care what anybody says, we have some of the best food in the country, right?
Barbecue.
No, just food, period, okay?
Food?
We got some of the best food in the country, so it's like...
And where is that, Kansas City or Los Angeles?
Yeah, Kansas City. Okay. So, and like, the way we experience food is just different. Like, we have, like, a really big food day, like, where I come from. Like, where I come from on Sunday, I mean, I don't know if it's done in Southern California, but where I come from, on Sundays, we all, the oldest person in your family, you go to that person's house, i.e. the grandparents.
Yeah.
That was a joke, yeah.
And
anyway, and like, I'm used to the whole clan just going over your grandparents' house and like all the aunties and cousins and all, and most of the women of the family just throwing down like every Sunday, you know? So,
yeah.
So whereas that for me, so I've just, I don't know, it's different for me. I'm more of a homespun.
Thanks, Ish and PM, for giving me some of your time, for our listeners to enjoy your great music, and I wish you all the luck as you continue to work on your documentary, and look forward to the next album. For everybody else, tune in tomorrow night, or go to William Pilgrim and the All Grows Up website to see episode 2 of Live at the Ice House, and next week, my guest will be Kayla Picard, and, she has some great disco, dancey, soul, pop, blues kind of music coming on. It's really cool. She's a great interview. And I'll see you next week. Until then, you guys have fun.